Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this cold, sunny Friday morning. Perfect weather for an air show. You're not going to be too hot. You're not going to be too cold. You're going to be just like Goldilocks. It's going to be great. A couple of news notes here. One thing kind of interesting is that President Biden, and this is according to an attributed report, that President Biden went and saw the latest Mission Impossible movie. And got scared about AI, and that's how we got our most recent push to regulate AI. Seriously. Like, he watched, because I guess the movie, I've not seen the movie yet, but I guess it's like a Russian AI that takes over and does horrible things, you know, or whatever, which you can imagine that being the case. But he watched the movie, I guess, I mean, I'm assuming they bring movies into the White House and they show screenings there. I'm not imagining that he went out to, like, you know, the Plex 15 or whatever, but... He went and saw this movie, and a Deputy White House Chief of Staff Bruce Reed, talking to the Associated Press, says, quote, if he hadn't already been concerned about what could go wrong with AI before that movie, he saw plenty more to worry about. And then on October 30th, he signed this executive order on AI designed to shape how private companies develop and profit from the new technologies. So, you know, and he clearly is concerned about AI. Now, I know how to think like you think. Because I think that way too, okay? And your first thought is, oh my God, good grief. You know, that's, oh my God. We're having national policy written by a bunch of fiction writers and movie studios because the president gets scared out of his bejeebers about, you know, what could go wrong because of a Tom Cruise movie. Okay, pause. Okay, your instinctive response to mock the president, just pause for a second. I don't think it that way at all. Look, art, and I mean, you might be feeling like that's a loose definition when it comes to Mission Impossible movies, but art provokes thought, art provokes reaction, art captures the imagination, art shows you things in ways that you didn't otherwise see, and certainly can raise your concern level about anything based on how it's portrayed. I mean, how much of our fairly robust concerns about technology in the future are shaped by all the movies we've seen? You know, whether it's War Games or The Terminator or it doesn't matter. Like, there's so many examples, The Matrix, whatever. Okay? So it provokes reflection. In fact, science fiction is designed. And I know Mission Impossible is more of an action movie than a sci-fi, but there can still be sci-fi elements in an action movie, right? Okay, and you say, well, okay, fine, I guess maybe. But still, it's Biden. Stupid Joe Biden. Okay. Pause. Pause. There was a book written back in the late 80s, Dark Territory. The Secret History of Cyber War, about President Ronald Reagan, who was at Camp David in 1983, watched the movie War Games. A few days later, okay, as a movie star himself, right, he goes to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of the Staff, Army General John William Vesey, and he says, hey, what are the implications for hacking for both civilians and state actors? Could something like this really happen? Could someone break into our most sensitive computers? About a week later, Vesey gets back with him and says, quote, Mr. President, the problem is much worse than you think. So as a result of Reagan watching War Games, that becomes a series of government memos and studies that eventually produced the president signing the Classified National Security Decision Directive, National Policy on Telecommunications, Automated Information System Security in September of 84 that overhauled how the Department of Defense handled computer network security. See, sometimes, and I know this is uncomfortable for a Friday, okay? But it's good sometimes to have your own bigotries exposed. And look, if you're a Republican, you're a conservative, you know, you hear Joe Biden, you think, oh, good Lord, what now, right? But you always have to judge things on their individual case merit. Because if I told you the president was Reagan, who had an insight from a movie that scared him a little and it developed a national policy that needed to be developed, you'd say, great, it's Reagan, of course. But when Biden does not necessarily the exact same thing, but a very similar thing, you know, watch your biases, you know, watch how that can lead you into making an unfair, certainly an ungenerous, unchristian judgment about somebody. Even Joe Biden can do something good on the basis of a movie. We know because that's how things can happen sometimes. 8:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jake Scott, traffic on the fives.
I saw this Quantum Leap program. I'm really, really scared.
That's right.
Corey Station has been backed up all morning. The back gate is closed, I think, still. If anybody has an update on that, please let me know at 437-1620. But traffic was being routed back to the front gate, and it was really, really slow just a few moments ago. Highway 98 westbound, Tiger Point starting to back up at the light at Garson Point. Also, East Burgess between Palafox and Oakfield, slow in both directions right there. If you have any traffic info to report, please text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
Today at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for Khloe Kardashian, whose Halloween costume as a Bratz doll showed her clearly making her skin several tones darker than natural. This racial appropriation by a light-skinned person pretending to be black or mixed race, called blackfishing, is just a variation on blackface practiced in a culture where being mixed has now become a desirable characteristic or a mark of beauty. As we all know, tampering with your natural skin color is racist, no matter which direction you do it. If you make your skin lighter, you are reinforcing the long-standing norm that blackness is bad, and if you make your skin darker, you are illegitimately trying to hide your membership in the historical white oppressor class by participating in the now-vogue mixed race category. Now, some heretics might argue that allowing people to pretend to be other colors in a favorable or desirable way might actually erode the barriers between people based on skin tone. These fools might even say that letting you pick your darkness and change it as you like could lead people to stop judging others by skin tone at all, since it wouldn't even be seen as an immutable characteristic anymore. If we allow people to change their skin tone, they say, we might stop caring so much about skin tone. Of course, the error here is believing that skin tone doesn't matter. Even though we must not judge people by their skin, unless they're white, we know that skin color is the single most important thing about a person and must never change. Umber people must be distinguishable from sepia people, and from cocoa people, and from chocolate people, and from tawny people, and from russet people, and from arabesque people, and from beige people, and from tan people, and from ivory people, and so forth. If we don't separate everyone by skin tone, how else can we all be united as one people? But once again, we see a lesson to be learned here about Halloween costumes in general, for while we can obviously see the evil of Khloe Kardashian blackfishing like this, we have for too long overlooked all the other racial appropriations in common costumery. Dressing up as the devil or redfishing must stop. Dressing up as a ghost or whitefishing must stop. Dressing up as Chucky or gingerfishing must stop. Pretending to be a wizard by putting on a white wig or silverfishing must stop. In fact, wearing wigs in general or hairfishing has got to go. People should no longer pretend to be witches or ogres or Martians because of the unacceptable greenfishing. And if we're being honest, pretending to be a cat is just whisker fishing, not to mention species appropriation. And obviously no one should be dressed up as Barbie or Ken, since platinum fishing and bronze fishing are clearly forbidden. So let us stop all of this skin treason and simply stay our natural colors in the holy unity of total division forever and ever. Amen. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, bird names that are based on the people who discovered them. Because some bird species have been named for canceled persons, such as McCown's longspur, which was named for Confederate General John McCown, but which is now called the thick-billed longspur, the American Ornithological Society this week decided that the best solution is to make sure no birds are named for any people at all. Instead of changing one bird name at a time when actual offenses are discovered, they decided it's better to make a clean sweep and eliminate all human names out of the paralyzing fear that a bird namesake who is deemed virtuous today will be discovered to be a horrible monster by future generations. Besides, this will also serve to free these birds from the speciesist oppression foisted upon them by the arrogance of humans who impose their own names upon the birds they claim to have discovered. Thus, Anna's hummingbird, Gamble's quail, Bewick's wren, Bullock's oriole, and more than 70 other species must be given new names. And even though some of these might seem like important people to honor, such as Wilson's snipe and Wilson's warbler for the founder of modern ornithology, no, instead we should go with the yellow warbler or the high-flying snipe. But since we're fixing problematic bird names, let's not overlook how words have changed over the years, and maybe it's time to eliminate some of the sexist or just inappropriately named birds. Blue-footed booby, red-footed booby, the great tit, the fluffy-backed tit babbler. I mean, can we really say we're making a world that's safe for women when strange men wander around the forest with binoculars, eagerly hoping to catch sight of tits and boobies? I mean, seriously, the American bush tit? Are you kidding me? And while we're at it, perhaps we should do away with the seemingly endless array of phallocentric bird names. The Andean cock of the rock, the red-billed oxpecker, the American woodcock, the Dick Sissel, the Himalayan snowcock, the Eurasian nutcracker, and the Indian peacock, clearly a double offender. And don't even get me started on birds like the great spotted woodpecker. Really, men? Woodpecker? I mean, try to imagine if we perused the great tome of bird names and discovered the Chilean green cooter or the North American spotted blue vajayjay. You'd never, ever let those vulgar names persist. And so a clean sweep is what we need. Let us rename all the birds in a way that is not tainted by any human affiliation and does not refer to reproductive organ slang. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to celebrate the wonderful work being done by the College Board's Advanced Placement Testing Division, as shown by a recent question on the practice test for AP Human Geography, because obviously there are geographic systems other than human ones. The question at hand showed a chart in which the birth rate per 1,000 population and death rate per 1,000 population in five countries was shown, with France being the lowest per capita birth rate and Nigeria being the highest. The question then asked, which country showed the highest level of female empowerment? Well, obviously the correct answer is France, because the ideal of female empowerment is achieved when the lowest possible number of women are becoming pregnant and having babies. This is because, as third-rail feminism teaches us, the entire scheme of reproduction, marriage, and maternity was created by the patriarchy to subjugate women in their barbaric and misogynist fantasy of keeping them barefoot, illiterate, subservient, and impregnated. Yes, countries with more traditional cultures like Nigeria and Egypt, which encourage women to do the one thing in their power that makes them fundamentally different from men and which men cannot do, yes, those are the oppressive ones. And countries with more evolved cultures like France and the campus of UC Berkeley have realized that the best way to fully empower women is to make sure they never do anything uniquely feminine. Yes, the true dream of all enlightened women is to be no different from men, which is why motherhood is such an anti-feminist practice. Only when women can be completely liberated from the biological consequences of having been born as women can they really manifest and fulfill their womanhood. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
This week, please keep the Gerstners in your mantras. On Tuesday, Pat and Parker were engaged in a sublime act of co-parenting when they both left work to take little Skylar to the pediatrician. As you all know, Skylar was not assigned a gender at birth and has yet to decide for themselves what identity they are, a truly noble condition at the age of 16. What Pat and Parker did not realize was that the intake form Skylar was filling out for itself included a section on gender but had only two boxes, one for male and one for female. Mistakenly thinking this pediatrician had been properly vetted, The Gerstners were horrified by this binary cisgender act of violence against other and everywhere, and they rushed Skylar to the Gender Identity Trauma Center on Fifth Avenue. Even though it's been a harrowing 3 days, they think Skylar's going to recover, but please continue to perform your Tibetan throat singing on their behalf until a full recovery is made. Refreshments this week are from Hickory Chicory Sock, the CBD-infused alternative to coffee dispensary that exclusively filters and flavors its brews with used Guatemalan footwear from the feet of asylum-seeking refugees. They are on site today with their most popular mix, 80-20 cotton polyester blend with hints of Rio Grande and a certified 3 Tochis rating. It's my favorite. You can really taste the oppression.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I feel a little dirty. Strange men wander in the forest with binoculars, eagerly looking for... Oh man. All right. 826 on News Radio 92.3. I am the aforementioned Andrew McKay. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
Send your hate mail to Andrew.
That's right.
At...
Andrew at News Radio 1620. Sorry. NewsRadio1620.com.
All right. Hating on birds, man. Okay. Corey Station.
You know, every bird I listed was a real bird except for the last two.
Well, yeah.
Obviously. But every other bird was a real bird. Go ahead. Okay.
The Corey Station seems to be cleared up now that everyone's had to be at work for a while. Highway 98 westbound Tiger Point showing a backup like normal at the Garson Point light. Also, East Burgess between Palafox and Oakfield, slow in both directions there. If you have any traffic info to report, shoot it on over to 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, the Cock of the Rock is a really cool bird. I looked him up. I'm not sure if I need to clear my search history now or not, but
it's going to be interesting to see what gets promoted to you on Facebook.
Yes, absolutely is. Probably binoculars would be my guess. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is now in Israel. He's expected to push for a humanitarian pause in Israel's war against Hamas and for the Israeli government to work to protect civilians in the Gaza Strip. He's already met with President Isaac Herzog. The Biden administration investing more than $650 million in port projects aimed at improving reliability in the U.S. supply chain. The administration announcing that the projects will focus on 41 nationwide ports. And a Pennsylvania woman getting a big settlement, apparently after a mishap with some cooking spray. This happened back in 2017. She was working in a kitchen. Apparently, a can of cooking spray ignited and exploded and set her on fire. She's now received a... $7.1 million settlement.
I'm always cautious because first glance, you want to, what in the, right, you know, okay. But I'm always cautious because the particular circumstances of some of these cases, when you really dig into them, do justify, especially when these companies, what often happens is you think it's ridiculous, but then you find out that the companies actually had emails going on internally being like, man, that coffee really is super hot. Are we sure we want to go with that? You know, like,
right.
Like that kind of thing. So, David, thanks so much for the update. 828 News Radio 92.3. I have a good news note that turns out not to be. Sorry. Okay. The headline, latest Florida citrus crop bouncing back after 15 years of decline, forecast shows. More oranges, 20.5 million expected this next year, an increase of 30% from last season's final production of oranges. Same for, it's always grapefruit and oranges both, okay? Grapefruit is also going to be up slightly for to 1,900 boxes, 1.9 million, it's thousands, 1,900 thousands from 1810. Here's the problem, two things. Number one, Ian was the reason it was so low, and if you go back to 2022, oranges was 41,000. And now 20,000, again, in thousands of boxes, okay? So it's really half what it was 2 years ago. So not much of a good news note there when the hurricane was the reason it was so down before. It's sort of like Biden claiming credit for reducing the deficit just by spending a few trillion dollars less than were wasted before. But that's not the key perspective here. Citrus greening has been destroying our crops in Florida for 2 decades now. You go back, and this has been a steady decline, and we don't have a solution. It's horrible. We peaked in the 90s. In fact, in 2000, just to put this in perspective, in 2004, 242 million boxes of oranges. 2004. 2005, 149 million boxes. A 33%, no, not quite, 40% decline in 1 year. And it has gone down every year. I mean, our number for next year we're supposed to get excited about is 20 million. down from 150 million after citrus greening started in 2005. So this is slight good news from last year, but overall still terrible news for citrus growers in the great state of Florida.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The October jobs report's released by the Labor Department. Fox's Jenny Casola.
There were 150,000 new jobs created last month, fewer than expected. The unemployment rate rose from 3.8 to 3.9%. Also, job creation for August and September has been revised lower by 101,000.
So an average of 231,000 jobs were created in those 2 months. Average hourly earnings, 4.1% higher than a year ago. The Israeli military reports having Gaza City surrounded. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in Israel.
We stand strongly for the proposition that Israel has not only the right, but the obligation to defend itself.
He's also pressing for more humanitarian aid in Gaza. The Hamas-run health ministry there reports more than 9,000 deaths since the war started. That was 4 weeks ago. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31. News Radio 92.3, it's 50 degrees. Mostly sunny skies right now in Pensacola. And lawmakers laying out their plans ahead of next week's special legislative session. Both the House and the Senate have now released proposals, including a change to the state's school voucher program. The change would remove a cap on a program to benefit students with disabilities and would be funded by more than $300 million set aside in the state budget. They'll also be discussing additional sanctions on Iran. The special session starts on Monday. It's expected to last 4 days. A suspect has now been identified in Wednesday's deadly shooting in Brownsville. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they're looking for 28-year-old Shibri Steverson. That shooting happened on West Blunt Street. A male victim was found with a gunshot wound to the abdomen and taken to the hospital. That's where he died. Not much else is known about this incident yet, other than it was reportedly stemming from an argument. If you have any information on Steverson, contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office or call Crime Stoppers. Well, it's day one of the Pensacola Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show. It's happening over at NAS Pensacola. And base public affairs officer Bruce Cummins says if you're going, one thing you should not do is bring any weapons on base.
Absolutely no weapons. We can't have any weapons on board. Coolers, you know, those aren't something that we can do. Outside food and beverage, there's tons of stuff that's going to be available, you know, inside.
And the theme for the air show is celebrating women in aviation. The gates opened here about a half an hour ago. The first air show is expected to begin at about 9:30 this morning. The Pensacola Police Department says they've now made an arrest in a fatal shooting that happened last month at the Pensacola Village Apartments. 20-year-old Jacoby Malik Smith has been charged with homicide in the death of Leron Wesley. Smith allegedly shot and killed Wesley October 1st. He was arrested yesterday by the PPD SWAT team. Well, it's been nearly 20 years now since Pensacola's Bravo Company of the 3rd Infantry Battalion returned home from a 13-month deployment in Iraq. Now the veterans are planning to get back together. They're having a reunion event on Pensacola Beach for Veterans Day.
Our time in war, it impacted all of us differently, but all of us were impacted. And, some of us came back injured. We were lucky and very proud that we brought everyone home. But not everyone came back, physically the same way, but definitely emotionally, mentally. You know, PTSD has been talked about a lot, and it's something we've all went through and been through.
That's Sergeant Jason Crawford. He was one soldier that deployed with the unit. He says they did lose one soldier to suicide just months after returning home. He's hoping this event will be a healing moment for everyone involved. Crawford tells Channel 3 many of those soldiers haven't seen each other since they returned from that deployment. Former President Donald Trump has the endorsement now of a prominent Florida Republican. Senator and former Governor Rick Scott has endorsed Trump. He says he's known Trump a long time, endorsed him in 2016, and worked with him when he was a governor and in the Senate. Scott also says Governor DeSantis never asked for his endorsement. He does say, though, that Governor DeSantis works hard for the state of Florida, and he's heard from a lot of Republicans that DeSantis should come home and be the governor. It's 8:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
Well, Highway 98 westbound in Tiger Point is backed up from the light at Garson Point. Also, East Burgess between Palafox and Oakfield, we're showing a very slow roll in both directions there. This traffic report is brought to you by Fresh From Florida. At freshfromflorida.com, you can see what's in season, recipes that feature local ingredients, and more. Also, join the Fresh From Florida Club today at freshfromflorida.com. If you have traffic info to report, please text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a beautiful start to the day. Temperatures a little chilly. We do warm up in the afternoon, 73 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 50s, 55 degrees for your low. Nice weather for your weekend. We do have mostly sunny skies on Saturday, 75 degrees for your high, 57 degrees for your low. Mid-70s continue for Sunday with sunny skies. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got mostly sunny skies. It's 50 in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton. Your money now. Today, the market up at the opening bell. The Dow is up 167.49 at 34.657. The S&P 500 is up 27.22 at 43.45.16. The NASDAQ up 75.29 at 13.369.48. Our 10-year bond rate is down just slightly at 4.5%. Gold prices up 240 at $1,995.90. Silver prices up slightly at $2,303. And Bitcoin down 5.20.36 this morning at $34,415.63. The unemployment rate ticking up a bit. Numbers out from the Labor Department today showing the unemployment rate rose 0.1% in October to 3.9%. Analysts had expected the rate to hold steady at 3.8. The Biden administration says they'll be investing more than $650 million into port projects aimed at improving reliability of the U.S. supply chain. The administration announced that those projects will focus on 41 ports nationwide, including Long Beach, Milwaukee, and Newark. The money coming from bipartisan infrastructure law, which included $17 billion for ports and waterways. It is 8:37, your next news at 9 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
To the hip, the hip, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's my opportunity to hang out with some friends and just talk about the news of the week, kind of like if we were having beers or coffee or I don't know, whatever, a drink that reminds us of the Rio Grande or whatever.
Coffee's
so
good.
Craig Heinzman, community outreach pastor. I always want to butcher this title. Is that
community
right?
Community pastor's fine.
Community
yeah,
pastor we'll at Marcus Point Baptist Church. And also Tammy Ward, who is now with, she just recently changed, with LifeQuest. What is LifeQuest again? You told me before, but I always forget.
It's an organ recovery service.
Organ recovery service.
Yes.
Very good. Which is essential work.
Yes. I mean,
absolutely.
Very, very important. Life-saving
gift
work.
Gift of life.
So, yeah, for sure. So we're here to just kind of talk about the things going on. Let's start. Just, Craig, I want to get it out of the way. Anything you want to promote, anything, you know, with the church that you're doing, you want to talk about?
I've got Veterans Day coming up. We've got Women's. We've always got something. But our big thing right now, Spirit of Christmas is coming, which is our big annual Christmas event. And we've got the Praying Coach, Joe Kennedy, coming.
Oh,
on,
all right.
The 10th
he lives
of
here.
December.
He lived here. I mean, he was here for some temporary amount of time, I think.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's. I know he said he's moving back to Florida. Like that's his, you know, get out.
I remember when the case was at the Supreme Court and it had been heard already, but they hadn't issued a ruling. I reached out to the PR people and to see if we can get him on, and it just didn't work out. But you know, I remember thinking, oh, cool, because you know he's right here. So
that's true. There's a lot of after your
Perdido thing. There's a lot of cool people, the astronauts.
Like, I know.
My son is like, we need to meet him.
Right.
Like, okay, we'll figure it. Well, if you're listening, call me.
Yeah, we got one of the guys at the recent meeting talking about the We Are Perdido Incorporation was, you know, no big deal. He just, you know, he crewed three shuttle flights and, you know, he's a retired astronaut and, you know, like, what? And I remember Doug Broxson asked him for his autograph. I thought was fantastic. So let's start with the big news. Tomorrow we fall back an hour. We are still doing this in Florida, despite the push. The Senate, you know, Rubio and Scott are both on board, but so far nobody in the House is willing to take up the bill. Matt Gaetz has said of all the issues he's concerned about, this isn't one. And so nobody else is willing to take it up either. So here we are year after year after year going through this fan or anti-fan of daylight savings time. Time. There's no S.
Yeah, there's no S.
I would rather stay on the same time. I mean, you gain an hour now, but then you lose it in the spring. So, you know, just stay one or the other.
Yeah, my thing is it's not the same across all the states. So, like, Arizona doesn't do it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So now you've got one state kind of opting out in itself. I'm like, we've got to just standardize this. Let's get away from it.
Yeah. Half of Indiana does it, half of Indiana doesn't.
So this just gets really confusing if you're talking to other people.
Right.
That's my thing.
The one thing that if we went to year-round daylight time, which is the proposal, if we went to daylight time and then other states still moved, well, now suddenly, you know, we'd be in kind of a weird spot vis-a-vis, like, Georgia and Alabama and Texas.
We're already in a weird spot because everybody thinks that we're Eastern time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the bill that should be passed right now.
Well, that's the other one, right?
Florida should all be on, you know, Central time or Eastern time or whatever.
No, I want to be on Central time.
I agree.
Well, again, the problem there is, right, we're so far west.
Exactly.
Right.
But seriously, how many people who live in Miami or Orlando even know there's a central time zone in the panhandle? They don't.
They really don't.
You talk to them on the phone, they're like, yeah, that's, you know, we're going to do that at 9 o'clock Eastern time. I'm like, no, we're central.
My main office is in Gainesville. Everything is Eastern time.
Right.
Luckily, the computer calendar changes it.
Yeah, I do think that's the thing, though. Outside of your microwave, you're really not setting anything back. Let's be honest.
Yeah, the microwave, and maybe if you own one, a wall clock, or if you have a VCR.
Oh, a wall clock.
If you own a wall clock, are you really setting it back, or are you just like, we'll get to it?
We'll figure it out.
In about a year, we'll come back to this place.
Even your like little digital alarm clock has a daylight button where you can fiddle with it, right?
So,
no, I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of this. I will say this. I have an okay ability to understand a lot of different things. I grew up dealing with time zones flying back and forth from like Michigan to Denver and Chicago and all that. So time zones don't bother me. I know some people just can't get it. They're in California. They don't understand. What do you mean? Do I add 2 hours, 3 hours? Do I subtract 2 hours, 3 hours? They just get confused. That doesn't bother me. For some reason, the concept of daylight time I always have to really think it through to make sure I'm doing it right. And I think I've figured out a way to think about it, which is that, like, okay, the daylight I experience now at 6 a.m. will be the light I experience next week at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
That's the way to think. In the spring, the reverse, right? But even so,
it's a farm thing, right? I mean, that originally was a farm thing.
But that doesn't matter anymore. That's the whole point
of
the bill.
Agreed.
It doesn't totally matter for everybody.
Well, I mean, tractors drive themselves.
Based on GPS in outer space.
And don't farmers just use the sun anyway? Are they really looking at a clock? I mean, the sun comes up, they got to go to work, right?
Yeah, can't go to work. Time's not right.
Right, yeah.
I don't care about that sunlight.
Leaving 4:35 o'clock, it's already dark.
Yeah, that is oppressive. It is bad.
And I feel like, okay, I'm going home, going to bed.
Right.
It's
dark. Time to shut down.
We're older.
Well,
my daughter, we were going to my parents' house for Halloween, and I was like, oh, we're leaving early. She goes, like 10 o'clock? I said, no, like 8:30. She goes, what are you, like 50? I'm like, yeah.
Well.
Yes. Yes, I am.
So that's, you know, we just had Halloween, and I don't know, when I was a kid, when we were all younger.
Yes.
You know, and I went through high school. I mean, we trick-or-treat. Now, people stop trick-or-treating like 13 or 14 is, you know, kind of a common cutoff age for, I mean, there might be some in high. You said no, you just
no,
me.
No. Yeah, they go up at
depends
Milestone
on the development.
Subdivision, there were 20-year-olds, like there were straight adults in trick-or-treat outfits getting candy.
Without kids, right? No kids.
When you carry a beer, I don't give you a candy bar, but, you know. but what I remember is we would start at, I don't know, 5, and we went till as late as you could go. If there were still if there were still lights on, we were begging for candy. So I mean, 10 for sure is what I remember. But you know, maybe.
It just depends on if they had candy left,
right? And everybody had it, and you know, you got all that stuff, and you just went home and checked it for objects that never existed in candy, and you were
maybe
all
we
good.
Could include trick or treating in the panhandling ordinance. Put some rules around age limits.
In the new ordinance that they're going to schedule for that. I didn't watch the meeting last night, so I'm assuming they schedule it. We're going to have that hearing, but we'll talk about that when we come back. Let's get Jake in here with Traffic on the Fives.
And just be careful, guys, because according to data from the Fatality Analysis Reporting System, there's a 6% increase in car accidents the day after daylight saving time. So, and about 28 deaths each year is contributed to that.
So, and also, let's see, I got to think about this. Are you late or early to church on Sunday if you screw up?
You're early.
You're early. You're early this time. Okay. Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Highway
Churches
90.
Love that.
Yeah, exactly.
We're good.
They're like, oh, you can volunteer here.
Here's your sign.
Right. Highway 98 westbound in Tiger Point is backed up from the light at Garson Point. Also, East Burgess between Palafox and Oakfield is slow in both directions. If you have traffic info to report, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. So, yeah, we're considering a new ordinance revision that's going to make it so that the sheriffs can actually enforce the anti-panhandling, that you won't be able to stand on the median or the roadside because it's a traffic impediment. And it is, of course. It's also just a social impediment as well. And, you know, the enforcement ability comes from the traffic impediment, but what people want is to be able to stop the panhandling and just get rid of as much of it as we can.
Right.
To, you know, Santa Rosa County enforces an ordinance that is probably, in all honesty, not constitutional. Escambia doesn't enforce an ordinance much because our ordinance is dubious at best, but we're changing it to try to make it constitutional. What do you think?
I go back to what the penalties are, and I think if I remember correctly, it's a fine, which
it's $500.
Okay, and they don't have money because they're homeless.
That's right. But you get a warning. I mean, you get to, you know, chew first, right?
Okay, and then 30 days in jail. They feed you. There's coverage, especially during the wintertime. I don't know the bad side.
I haven't talked to homeless advocates about this question, but I kind of... I don't think a lot of people are committing infractions to go to jail. Maybe
it does happen.
Because jail's pretty awful.
But it is. And I think you'll see more of that in the hospital systems. Filling a bed for a night because it's cold. That does happen. But
how are they going to know except for the warning?
I think we have to do both.
Word travels well. I mean, there's definitely a network of communication for sure.
Absolutely. And I think you have to do both. I think you have to provide the services that help those that really want to get out of homelessness. The short-term solutions, you know, the low-barrier shelters, those kind of things have to happen, as well as making it illegal for panhandling and to make the money that allows you to continue to live in that lifestyle with unfettered access. Mm-hmm. And I think that's my biggest thing is that it's just, hey, anyone can do anything. It's fine. All of our police have to be hands-off because we don't want to get sued by the ACLU.
Right.
It's just like, yeah, but I just walked by some guy who literally had an office chair on Palafox Street in front of a business. Like, he was laying down asleep. He had an office chair and a tent. I'm going, this is not okay.
Right.
There's got to be a rule that says you can't do this. But apparently, if there is one, we can't enforce it.
And what I appreciate about that, Craig, is, I mean, this is coming from a Christian pastor who realizes, come on now, this is ridiculous. And same for me. Like, you know, we don't tithe to a religious entity. What we do is we tithe to all the homeless relief agencies, you know, Manna and Waterfront. And those are the folks who get our money because they're doing the work of the gospel to me.
Right.
And so somebody wants to bark up my tree and say, you know, Andrew, you just don't care about the homeless. Wrong. I mean, completely wrong. Right. But what I also care about order in society and people enjoying the community that we live in and, you know, this being a problem for us. And I'm glad we're trying to do something about it and to try to make the street corner a less obnoxious place to drive past.
To care for somebody is to care to get them out of a tough situation. It's not to let them stay in that situation.
Right.
So if you really care about a homeless person, you want to help them become not homeless. You don't want to just allow them to continue forward. That's not... In any way, I think a good marker of how
but
we
they
do
want
things.
That they need to want
some,
the
some
help.
Some do. Yeah, they have to want the help, but some do, some don't.
And the other thing about this, and maybe we don't mention it often enough, is why do we have so much in this area? Well, there's lots of reasons, but one of the key reasons is because we're compassionate, generous,
that's true,
kind, empathetic people, and sometimes, in this case, to our detriment and to their detriment.
Right.
But, you know, the whole point is we have enough, a lot of enough people in this area that see it, feel it, and give. And that's not necessarily true everywhere.
And I think the best thing is send it, like you said, send your support for the homeless instead of giving it to the person on the corner. Give it to somebody who's going to help.
Helping them.
Right. Reap. Give it to right. somebody.
To an organization that's going to work with them and be
Michael
there and shepherd.
There
and, right. Absolutely.
So many great places.
One of the proposals that we're looking at right now is red light cameras in the city of Pensacola. You know, Tommy Leiter, when he was a chief of police, he pioneered this and really pushed for it and never got it. I don't know that he did necessarily the steps to get it done, necessarily that he had the authority. That's really got to come from the mayor and the city council. But now, of course, D.C. Reeves, Tommy was on his transition team, and they have done the study. They have found the problems, and they're going to put a pilot program in and start, you know, the first phase of this is going to be warnings.
Okay.
But then eventually it's going to be, you know, that's a moving violation. That's a ticket. It's, you know, we do it in Gulf Breeze. It works in Gulf Breeze. But do you think it'll make a difference? And do you have any objections? I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, there are some people who think that somehow this is an infringement of freedom or it's a, you know, surveillance state or something like that. What's your thought, Tammy?
I want to stop the ones that don't, you know, before they turn right, they don't stop.
Oh,
sometimes
they
don't even
blow
slow
right
down.
Turning right.
Yeah, exactly. So are they going to catch those people as well?
That is one of the things, yes.
Okay, because that's, I think, almost as big of a problem as the ones that actually run the lights because of the yellows. They don't run the same thing. So it's like if I'm going a certain speed, even though it's a speed limit, I have to, you know, yeah, I am doing the speed limit. I don't want to slam on my brakes when it turns yellow because somebody behind me is going to probably hit me. Mm-hmm. But I might get caught in the middle and it turns red and I might get a ticket.
Yeah, you know, if you...
That's my only concern.
The best, in my opinion, the strongest, and it's not strong, but the strongest mm-hmm. argument against red light cameras is it makes people timid about the driving.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them overreactive to the yellow light because they're afraid of getting a ticket. And so you do, statistically, you're going to have a higher number of minor rear-end collisions
right.
as a result. The trade-off is you have a significantly lower number of serious collisions, T-bones and head-ons, or offsets. Those are the ones that kill people.
Yeah, and I think if you, everyone who is a resident of Escambia County going into Santa Rosa County knows the second hump on 3 Mile Bridge, hit the brakes.
That's right.
We all know it. You're going 65 over it, and then you're like,
you mean 35. 45.
No, I mean 65, and then
come
you to 35. Let's be honest, everybody. Come on. And why? Because you realize once you hit Gulf Breeze, you're going to get
right.
popped for speeding. You're going to get popped for red light. So you're incredibly cautious going through those areas. I think if we start having that kind of same mindset, people are going to do the same thing. It's going to take a little bit of adjustment, but they're going to do it. And you can't argue with the numbers that they were presenting. The number of traffic incidents in those, specifically the areas they're looking at, put these red light cameras up, it's really hard to argue with that. Or the enforcement of, like you said, how many officers does it take to get one ticket
right.
in that.
You know, the one that really caught me by surprise that is a weird case is Fairfield. When you're going east on Fairfield at I-110 Davis, headed towards where it's going to become 12th Avenue, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're headed along that stretch, right past, like, Pensacola Village and that kind of stuff. Is those three cameras going to 9th Avenue?
Yeah.
Are the highest violations other than,
really?
I think, Gregory going west at 9th Avenue is also a very high. People run that red light a lot because there's no light from Gulf Breeze all the way through that one. I mean, it's just a straight shot. But I was like, why are people blowing through? And it's only east and west. It's not north and south on the Fairfield one. And I was talking with somebody who said, you know, it's true red light cameras will tend to discourage that. But also that might be a matter of street design and light visibility. If so many people through three lights so close to each other,
that's true.
It could just be that that street is poorly designed. It could mm-hmm. be that those lights are harder to see. I mean, presumably most of the people who run these red lights know the intersections and aren't surprised mm-hmm. by the fact. But still, there might be something aside from just behavior.
The timing could be off, too, just a little bit. Because if you're right. coming, if I'm coming up from a green light and it's about to turn red, I'm going to hit that gas to try to get through that yellow
come
instead
on,
of stopping
preach
right
it.
There. But I'm just saying, as I tell my kids, what does the yellow light mean? Speed up.
That's right. No, make sure you get across the red light, get across the white line before the red
that's
comes.
That's exactly
right.
That's, no.
Well, the light that's right before the bridge.
I'm sorry, Chip. That's
I mean, the, if you're going on Fairfield in the morning and that
yeah.
sun is in your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's true,
too. And
you've
got that bridge and that light is right there at that bridge of 110.
Yep.
That's very difficult.
I didn't think about sun placement. That's a good, that's a really good point.
And at night going the other way, same thing. At sunset and sunrise, the east-west streets can be blindingly bad. I actually thought the same thing about, you know, the new light that's at US 29 Palafox, or Pensacola Boulevard, when the exit ramp that they kind of redesigned.
Yeah.
The light that's right on the north side, when you're going north, you're driving under the overpass, and then all of a sudden the light kind of emerges from the overpass because of the height of it. You really don't see it until you're fairly close to it. And I always worried that that would be a problem because that's cars coming down off the interstate, and who knows. But I don't think it's been a big problem.
They have that flashing light
warning.
When the light's turning red, it starts flashing, let you know.
Pine Forest has the same thing. When you go right under 10, you got a light before it and after it. And so it's like, okay, well, if I'm green through the first one and you pass through that road that goes to
The frontage?
Yeah. When you go through that and you go under I-10, if other people aren't in front of you, you don't see that light until you're almost under the bridge.
Yeah.
While we're talking about traffic on Pine Forest, that apartment complex is huge.
Which one? Perdido?
The one on
Pine Forest.
Oh, see, I haven't been there. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's massive. There is huge development. I'm like, this is a little two-lane road.
This is the one just off of
I-10? There's like
just
six
right off
buildings?
I-10 on Pine Forest. Yeah. And yeah, I'm like, oh my goodness, the infrastructure is going to have to grow. We're going to have to do way better.
Have you seen
job.
The one on Perdido? The one that just when you're going down, crossing over the bridge and you're like,
The one that started the whole We Are Perdido thing.
That's exactly
what Steve was telling me.
At least close enough. But yeah, that one is like, holy smokes, where do they think these people are going to find road surface, you know, and all the other infrastructure, like you said. So, no, I haven't seen that one, but I'm interested now.
I wouldn't ride your bike, but you could drive by there.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. 8:56. Let's get Jake in here for traffic. Jake?
I thought you were actually segueing to me for the traffic report. I was about to be really really impressed with that. I was like, oh, sweet.
Just in case you didn't hear it, Craig Heinzman, Pastor Craig Heinzman, says 65 on a bridge is cool. And accelerating into the yellow light is the preferred tactic.
Yeah, being real.
I love that about you.
Our only remaining slowdown this morning, you guessed it, Highway 98 westbound, Tiger Points, backed up starting at the light at Garcon Point, stretching all the way back past Ronnie's Car Wash. This traffic report is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer that Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Have a great weekend, everybody. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Oh, thanks so much, Jake. So back to, we're talking to Tammy Ward and Craig Heinzman, who are here in Studio 4. The wrap, I feel like we would do everybody a disservice if we didn't at least mention there's some things going on this weekend.
A little bit.
There's an air show you might have heard.
There's a Foo Fest.
There's the Mural Fest. Have you seen the murals on Barrancas?
No, but thanks for those pictures.
They're very cool.
No, I have not, but I was at the glass exhibit.
Poseidon's Garden thing. It's out at Community Maritime Park, right?
It is, yeah, right out there in front of the Wahoo Stadium. It's actually pretty cool. I mean, to think about how large those glass structures are.
And they just unveiled that yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
First City Arts.
After the Clydesdales.
That was Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah. And they're in town.
There's a lot of stuff happening in Pensacola right now, which is
it's
cool.
Great. The Gulf Coast Arts Fest. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff coming. Anyway, I think that one. Anyway. But I did want to mention this. I don't know if you heard the interview I did earlier today, but Amir Fulati with Parsco is the guy refurbishing that old Spanish architecture filling station on Jackson DeVillers.
Yes.
And, oh, my God, it's amazing. And, you know, this is like the most run-down, dilapidated-looking needs fix. Mm-hmm. And I asked him how much he put into it. He's like, brother, I don't even know. But he had to basically, all he could save was the skin, the outside, you know, and about the upper half of some of the interior wood. He had to build it up from the ground up to rebuild the bottom and then refurbish and do a lot of stuff. It's an amazing project.
Will it have gas and will it have classic candy?
It's probably going to be a restaurant or a bar or
doggone.
Something like, or a brewery or something like that. So
God bless him for saving it.
It's a very cool building. So amazing.
Onto the tax rolls and, you know, employing people and, you know, developing toward the west side. All good
moving
stuff.
Moving jobs from one
Tammy,
to another.
Craig, thank you so much for the time. Have a
Thanks
great weekend.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.